This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio. And joining us is Ms. I don't know, April Phillips from NASA.
NASA.
Ready?
Love it.
NASA good.
Well, we are so happy to be back after taking a couple years off for COVID.
Yeah.
And bigger and better than ever over at the NASA Pavilion this year.
You guys, oh yeah, that's right. I haven't been in there in a long time, and I need to go over and get some stickers.
Oh yeah, we've got stickers, we've got coloring books, we've got comic books, we've got pens. It is the best place for free swag out here.
All right, cool.
And I know that's a high bar to set.
Yes, it is. Yes, swag is what we're all after. However,
you know, that explains...
us being older, I want, you have like a piece of a rocket you're not using?
Preferably an engine, you know, one of those F1s out of the Saturn V.
I've got one in my backpack at the pavilion. Just
all right,
come by,
great. We'll be right
I'll
over.
Hand it
yeah.
over, yeah.
Yeah. And a blank credit card to fuel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll need a few blank credit cards.
Yeah, no kidding. So what is new at NASA?
Okay, so NASA, of course, most people think of space, and we couldn't let them down. So we have an Artemis exhibit that is out of this world. No pun intended. Maybe I didn't intend
yes,
it.
You
yeah,
did.
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. But so Artemis is the mission where we are going to send the first woman and first person of color to the moon. And we're not going to the moon just to plant a flag and shoot some golf balls and stuff like that.
Come on.
No, we'll do that,
open
too.
A Starbucks.
We're totally going to do that,
baseball.
Too. I will finally hit a home run, except for I'm not going.
You're not? What? Why
I'm
not?
I'm not going. Because I don't. I like to talk about NASA. I leave the doing to the people that are, you know.
Listen to this.
Yes. Yeah, so the people who can actually sit in a tin can for hours and hours.
I have
hours
a tip
hours.
For it.
Yeah.
Stow away.
Okay. All right. I don't think there's much room.
Oh,
that's the
on.
Problem with those things. They're really small.
Yeah, that's why they call them capsules.
Yes.
They make you sound like you're in a little tiny thing.
But what they are going to do this time that's different from the last time, besides the baseball and the golf and the flags and everything, is that we are going to build a sustainable moon base so that we can learn to live and work on another, you know, planetary body. And the reason that we're doing that is because it's not about the moon this time. It's about Mars. But if someone's going to take a 9-month voyage to Mars, we kind of need to make sure they know how to live in that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. So the moon is really kind of going to be a training base for us.
I want to know who's going to service the porta potty.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's going to be a bit of a trip.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you, I will not discuss it here, but you should Google the way they use the bathroom on the moon.
No, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the top
might
questions
be a bit of a letdown.
Asked for NASA people.
It's true. And I could tell you, but it's too early in the morning.
Yeah, right.
So.
Well, you think about it, that's got to be one of the large engineering issues they have
indeed,
to take care
yes,
of.
Indeed, yes, absolutely.
So, hey, just hold it. We'll be leaving in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it's difficult to find a gas station in space, you know.
So
yeah,
when you say
is.
Sustainable moon base, are mm-hmm. we talking for 10 people, 100 people, or one?
More than one.
Okay.
But it's really yet to be. Some of that, you know, they're still working the details,
right,
as we like
right.
to say. But yeah, no, it'll definitely be more than one. And so they're going to learn how to live, you know, how the gravity, the zero G, or not quite zero G, but of how that affects them. We have in-space assembly, so like we can already build things before people are there.
Robotically.
Like, exactly.
How about one of those inflatable, wasn't Bigelow working on inflatable?
The habitats?
Yeah, habitats, mm-hmm. that's the word.
Yep, so I don't know if that's what they're planning for there, but I have seen those. I've been inside one. It's super cool.
Yeah, we could use one here.
Hey,
forget those tents.
So that's one thing that you can see at the NASA Pavilion.
Okay.
But getting back to the true heart of what we're here for, aeronautics. So we have our Quest exhibit. Quest is super cool. It is our mission to enable supersonic flight over land, which right now, of course, that is banned because people get a little disturbed by those sonic booms.
Yeah, that tends to shake us up.
Yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So what the Quest plane, that craft will show that you can take a sonic boom and turn it into a sonic thump. So the point is that the Quest aircraft is going to fly for the first time later this year. And then early next year, it's going to start community testing over communities across America. And we'll get actual people to let us know how it sounded. Did it really sound like a thump? Did it sound like a car door slamming across the street? That's kind of what we're hoping for, so that it won't be disturbing to folks. And once we've proven that we can do that, then hopefully the FAA will take that information that we've gathered, and they'll be able to enable supersonic flight over land, which means, you know, I mean, everyone knows that it can be a hassle to fly these days.
Incredible.
Yeah. So, but if you can get there across the country, you know, a grandma getting to see her grandkids in a couple of hours instead of all day. And then advanced air mobility, another thing we're working on at NASA, means that once you get to that airport, and say you have a 2-hour drive from the airport, now you're going to get into a smaller craft that's going to pick up and take you almost like a Jetsons flying car. We don't like to call them that, but that's how I think of it, because, mm-hmm. you know, I was promised that flying car when I was a child.
That's right. Where is it?
Exactly. It should have been here by now. But we're going to bring it here so that grandma can get in that craft, fly over to the small town that's a couple hours away from the major airport, and then she gets to spend more time with the grandkids rather than in the hassle of traffic.
That's the dream.
You know, yeah. And here's what I just had pop into my head. She's talking an aerial Uber.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right. That's yep. exactly how we think of it.
I was thinking it was going to go the other direction. Amazon Prime. You know? It'll be there in 10 minutes if you order now.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's just one of the fun things. We've got and speaking of sustainable aviation, we have someone here who can talk a little more about the real details. He's an actual you know, I just talk about it. He lives it. So
okay, so you're saying he's sustainable.
He's sustainable.
So far, anyway.
But the question is he a rocket scientist?
Well, we're all rocket scientists at NASA. Come on, we all are. So, so Rich Wall's here.
Yay.
Stuck in traffic, but he made it.
I could have used an air taxi.
Yeah, where's that air taxi now?
Exactly.
The police had the exit blocked, and we had to...
No,
take the long way around.
They would never do that.
Never.
But you guys are going to fix all that, right?
Ooh, yes. Well,
it'll be even worse because
we're working hard on it.
It'll be even worse now because there'll be a cop hovering directing traffic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Jammed in three
dimensions.
You got
to take the good with the bad.
Yep.
Or the bad with the good in that case. So.
Something like
yeah.
that. Something like that. So, Artemis, we're going to go. Well, wait, let's go back to aviation. Forget
that
space junk. Yeah. It's boring. Someone would look at you and say, hasn't everything already been invented in aviation? I mean, we've done so much. What's left?
Oh, there's a lot more. I mean, there's potential changes in configuration, new engine technology. The electrification of larger aircraft is new. Total electrification is a long way away for large aircraft.
Right.
But mild hybrid is the first step change into that. We hope to see that next decade. We've got a series of demonstrators. Contracts are let and demonstrations in 2025 with a couple companies, GE and Magniex.
You know, if you think about how electric locomotives work, you got a diesel engine running a generator, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't you do the same thing in an airplane? A small turbine or a large turbine turning at 1 RPM at its optimum efficiency, turning a generator, and then electric thrust.
There's a lot of creativity out there in this. There's a lot of different architectures. So there's some that actually use gas turbines and just distribute it electrically to multiple propulsors around the vehicle.
Ooh, that's a good word, propulsor.
Propulsor. Beyond that, you know, there's blended wing bodies, truss brace wings. People look at truss brace wings and think they look like they're already flying, but not at transonic speeds for commercial transport.
Okay, that's a concept I've not heard of, a truss brace wing.
I think of
a bridge.
Yeah. So structurally efficient, right?
Yeah.
And but it's got an external brace, like you see in a small Cessna aircraft.
Oh, okay.
That flies slow. But if you start going up around Mach 0.8, transport level speeds, drag happens, mm-hmm. shock waves happen. So the trick is how can you get that structural efficiency with a externally braced wing? And you can get a step change in fuel efficiency with that. And in addition, it becomes a high wing, giving you more room under the wing to put advanced, larger fans or propulsors. There's that word again.
Yep. And luggage.
Yeah.
And, don't forget the luggage.
Yeah. So there's changes possible in configuration.
Now,
also,
go ahead.
Have there been any interests in going, say, with a flying wing versus a conventional aircraft?
Yeah, there's a lot of research. We've been researching that for decades.
Yeah.
And it's ready for, you know, I would say, demonstration right now. We have a solicitation out right now that got announced June 29th for what's called the Sustainable Flight Demonstrator, which is a single aisle transport class demonstrator. It may or may not be called, be technically an X-plane. Proposals are due in September, and we expect to see all sorts of different advanced configurations. It centers on kind of an advanced airframe. It could be a blended wing, could be a truss, could be something else. We'll see what proposals we get. The DoD also has a the early stage solicitation out now for kind of a blended wing demonstrator too, and we'll see if we get a couple of these going in parallel.
I would think that a big picture of the or a big part of the sustainable picture is another type of fuel, a biofuel.
Absolutely.
Or something like that.
Absolutely. So the U.S. government has what we call the SAF Grand Challenge, Sustainable Aviation Fuel Grand Challenge. Sustainable aviation fuel being by definition a drop-in for Jet A. The challenge has been, over the last decade, there have been lots of demonstrations and actually operational experience flying sustainable fuels, but they aren't produced in enough quantities to bring the cost down. So now the government's getting behind it, and with a goal to produce 3 billion gallons a year by 2030 and 35 or 40 billion by 2050 that would meet all the needs of the U.S. market anyway. So beyond that, then there's other folks, you know, looking at the potential of hydrogen or natural gas, compressed gas, liquefied natural gas. There's a lot of creativity there too. Well, in addition to the electrification.
Right. I hate to cut this short, but we're out of time. We've been speaking with Rich Walls and April Phillips of NASA. Go see them over in the NASA building.
See you soon.